It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning gonna keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time in Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure. Heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. We are now, boy, a week since day one of the NFL draft last Thursday night. As the Giants continue to work on the field now, the rookies join the veterans out there in OTAs and in training camp. Let me just give you a fair warning here before we get started this morning. And we're taking your calls at 201-939-4513 and your comments on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Now, just want to warn you ahead of time. I'm a little cranky today. All right, so if you want to call in, just beware. A little cranky. If you watch my Twitter feed, if you've listened to the show before, you probably know why. Steve Kerr has not made me a happy person. Neither have the Knicks. So I'm a little cranky. A little annoyed. Hopefully you guys can put me in a little bit of a better mood. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll take your calls all morning long. We're supposed to have Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, but something came up. He had an emergency, so we're going to push him to early next week. Tony Pauline will be joining us tomorrow. I'm recording the interview this afternoon. Lance is hosting on Friday. He'll play back the spot on tomorrow morning. And then Rob Rang from CBS Sports will be our final draft guy. He will break down the Giants draft next Thursday with us. He's taking a well-deserved long weekend with the family after a lot of days of draft work over the past couple of months. So that's what we got coming up on the show. As for today, we can still continue talking about the draft picks. We can continue to talk about some of the undrafted free agents the Giants have brought in. Any of that is fair game. Anything with the roster, anything else going around the NFL, there's really not much to say about it. But another concussion lawsuit kind of got pushed through the courts yesterday, so let's see what happens with that. And really, otherwise, the league's kind of quiet. I think you're going to slowly see some veterans get cut by June 1st. Now, remember, it's not quite as big of an event, June 1st cuts, as it used to be, because teams can designate players June 1st cuts before that, before June 1st actually gets here, like the Giants did with David Boss, like, say, the Cowboys did with Miles Austin. So June 1st itself, not quite as big of a day, but those cuts will be coming. And certainly something to keep an eye on, see if somebody gets cut loose and becomes available that could help the Giants at any particular position. My eyes are on the tight end spot because they still need to add somebody there to fill out this roster a bit. Mike McCarthy did speak about JerMichael Finley. Still talked about how he kind of wants him back in Green Bay if he can. Since he knows the system, he'll be able to kind of come in and get used to things very quickly. So I thought that was interesting. We'll see if he can actually get cleared with the neck injury and the back injury and things like that. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, if that eventually becomes an option for the Giants in terms of free agency at tight end. Honestly, otherwise, I don't think there's any other position really at this point that the Giants need to really add significant help at. I mean, if you can find another pass rusher maybe in free agency after June 1st, if you can find maybe another offensive lineman that's an improvement in terms of depth, I think that's a possibility as well. But otherwise, I don't think there's any drastic needs besides tight end that this team has to address in veteran free agency before the season starts. Last year was running back. They didn't. I think it was a mistake. And I think it'd be a mistake if they can't find, a tight end at some point that can come in and help you. There's not a ton of guys out there right now. Kellen Winslow Jr. doesn't excite me. And obviously Finley with the injury. So just things to take a look at moving forward for the New York Football Giants. All right, let's get to your phones early and often today. 201-939-4513. No need to waste any more time. Let's start off with Rolando in Fresh Meadows. Ro, what's going on?
Holy smokes, I'm leading off today. Good morning, Big John.
Good morning, Ro.
What's happening, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay. I was just thinking, you mentioned the other day you wanted a topic subject, matter, you know, to make a show out of it.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just thinking, since we already played general manager, well, let's play coach now. Let's play coach based on the roster we have. Go ahead.
How so?
Okay. It is what it is, right? People say that all the time. It is what it is. This is our roster. What would we put out there as a team? Let's hear what the other Giants fans have to say in terms of, given the roster that we have, who will we put out there? Who do we feel comfortable in September we'll put out there? Because we all have, like, we're all a little, you know, scary about William Beatty and his, you know, being hurt, you know, having injuries and not being as strong, you know, at the point of attack. And Chris Snead, his injury and his hip. Okay, it is what it is. Guess what? What are we going to do? It is what it is. Let's find a solution. Let's not be part of the problem. Let's find a solution. Let's have dialogue to see what the other Giant fans have to say in terms of what would they do. Because I don't think, in my opinion, Johnny, I don't think Charles Brown is an upgrade with Beatty.
I think Charles Brown's a backup to Beatty. I don't think he's an upgrade.
Bro, I don't even think he's that, homie. If you look at both of them, they seem to be parallel. Second-round draft pick, you know, injured, and then lost his job. If we had a proper replacement for Beatty, I think he would have lost his job last year as well, giving up 13 sacks. And I just think that looking forward and playing the what-if game, I would consider Q at left tackle, being that he kind of bulked up. You know, he has 10 more pounds of muscle, and he kind of knows, you know, the NFL game now. Put him next to Schwartz, and then putting John Jerry in his place. And then the big question mark, which you guys have been mentioning, is right tackle. I don't have anybody in mind, not even the center we just drafted, which I think is a good pick. I really think that's a real good pick. And we might not see it now, but guys, I've been watching football Giants in 69. And whenever we get a good center, it solidifies our offensive line for some reason. And we went. I go back to Mike Webster when we got him from Pittsburgh with two bad knees. Whenever he was in that lineup, we played better. Oaks, O'Hara. We tried Kevin Belcher, and he got messed up. He couldn't do it. But whenever we solidify the center position, for some reason, it solidify our line, and we played a lot better. And I think moving forward, seeing that we have Pugh, we have Schwartz, we have the potential starter at center, we're moving in the right direction. Now that I started the subject, this is who I – listen up, bro. Now this is who I think my lineup will going to be.
Okay.
Okay. Pugh, Schwartz, whoever wins out between Walton and Rich Byrne, question mark, I'm going to say Mosley and Jerry Jones.
John Jerry, you mean.
Jerry Jones. I don't think he's the block.
No, I don't think so either. He might be able to pay somebody to block for him. That's about it.
Bro, and if he did, he'll let him get by because, you know, he'll just want us to get killed.
Right, exactly.
Tight end, Victor Cruz.
Now, hold on, wait. I want to ask you a question, Ro, on the offensive line there. You went through those guys. Are you starting Pugh at left tackle because Beatty's not back from his injury or because Beatty's not playing well enough?
He's not playing well enough.
Okay.
You listen to him in his interview. You never get a sense of confidence. You always get, like, a sense of, like, man, this guy don't seem like he's up for it. Like, you know, I think I'm going to be, I'm not sure. And then when you see him play, he don't have that same tenacity that you like to see in your left tackle. But that's why I think we went with the kid from LSU, because I think the true pick was going to be LaJuan. Because if we were going to go for Martin, we had our chance. But I think that the draft was going to be LaJuan, flip it, you know, offensive line, then
right.
Wide receiver.
I got you. And all right, what else do you got for me?
And that's about it, bro. I think Kimanuka, Jennings, Hankins, JGPP.
Right.
We keep forgetting about McLean as the other linebacker
right.
in the lineup. And I think it's going to be McLean, Beeson, the fight between Williams and Paysinger, and then everything else is similar then until we go to a nickel package.
You know what, though, Rolando? Hold on 1 second. I interrupted you when you were talking about the tight ends and wide receivers. What do you want to do there?
The tight end, I'll put Davis, because I think we seem to forget before Bennett came here, the only thing you heard about Bennett was that he was a blocking backup for the other young man at Dallas. That's similar to what they're saying about Davis. You know, you put him in the system and all of a sudden he has success because they're focusing their attention on Randall and Cruz and maybe J.J., but I think he might be our dark horse, you know, even the other young man, Larry Donald.
Yeah.
Right? I think those guys there, I think they're going to do the job. Now, is it official now that the kid Xavier is on our team, or that's not official yet?
You know what? As far as I understand, that has not been announced. It's kind of being widely reported, and I think the kid himself actually tweeted something, to be honest with you. So it looks as though it's going to happen, but I don't believe that is official yet.
I read something yesterday afternoon that he signed, and we also got awarded an offensive tackle off waivers of the Buffalo Bills. Some guy with three names on it. I can't think of it right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
6'6", 304. He's been around, you know, a few places, but they keep saying that he has world talent and he shows upside. I would love to hear other people's opinion in terms of what will you do to fix what we do have. Not making any trades. It is what it is. We got it. What we're gonna do with it? That's what I like to do. And Johnny, don't worry about that Steve Kerrbull. That's just money, man. He didn't want to come here with the cha-ching.
You know what? You know what, Ro? I don't think it was the money, to be honest with you. I think he wanted to stay on the West Coast, and the Warriors have a much better roster. I mean, if I was Steve Kerr, I would have taken the Warriors' job too. But it's frustrating when a guy decides to, you know, kind of play you off for 3 or 4 weeks, just stalling and buying time and using you until the team he really wants to go to finally interviews him and offers him the same amount of money or a little bit more than you do. It's a little frustrating when you get used like that. That's all I'm saying.
But wait, bro. He's going to have to win 50 games to say that they did better.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know, you ain't going to win 50 games if they don't like him as a coach. These guys in the NBA, they'll shut you down. they'll play all left-handed, even though they're all right-handed. Come on, let's be real, Johnny. He thinks that he's going to get a better thing. The only thing he got better was $20 million. No, maybe 25.
Yeah.
$25 million. Let's see what's going to happen. After that, Johnny, it is what it is, bro.
Thanks,
you know, bro. I'm sweating. We're losing our hair as it is. Take care, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Look, I know, by the way, it's ridiculous that first-time head coaches are getting, you know, $25 million guaranteed contracts. That's a little insane, too. I mean, come on. Let's be serious now. I like Steve Kerr as much as the next guy. That money's a little ridiculous. 201-939-4513. Christian's in Long Island. Christian, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how we doing, John?
Doing great, Christian. What's up with you?
All right, I'm all right. Enjoying the day off. You know, I usually only get to call on the days off because I actually work when the show's going on, but I still get to listen on the app.
Excellent.
I wanted to know, you know, I see that Xavier Grimble is not officially on the roster yet, but I wanted to know, in your opinion, which of the undrafted free agents do you think really have a legit chance of sticking around and not just being stashed on the practice squad?
You know, that is a good question. You know, I mentioned the guys yesterday. Let me get the list in front of me so I'll make sure I don't forget anybody here. Let me see. I think Emmanuel Dickey is probably going to be a practice squad guy, would be my guess. I could see Dan Fox having an outside chance of making it as a special teamer and maybe being a backup linebacker, considering the Giants don't have a ton of depth at linebacker. I'd give him a shot.
Okay.
You know what? Kelsey Quarles is interesting. He was supposed to be a middle-round pick, you know, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth round, something like that. So I think he has the talent to stick around. The only issue is that right now defensive tackle is a pretty stacked spot for them. So I'm not sure who he would make the team over. That's really my only question here, because Jay Brown, here's the thing. Right now the Giants have eight defensive linemen, right? And these eight guys to me are almost, maybe not definite to make the team, but they're probably going to make it. You got JPP, Kiwanuka, Demontre Moore, Cohen Jenkins, Jonathan Hankins, Marcus Kuhn. Who am I forgetting here for a second? Robert Ayers. And Mike Patterson. So those are your eight guys right there. Thank you, Neil. I forgot about Mike Patterson. And then they drafted Jay Bromley, so that's nine. And on your active roster, you're not going to carry more than nine defensive linemen. So I just don't know where Crawls is going to fit. I think he has the talent to stick. I'm just not sure where they find the roster spot for him. As for the group they brought in yesterday, let me see if I can find that list right here. I have it somewhere. I will bring it up in a second. But as for the guys they brought in yesterday, let me just bring up the list right here for 1 second.
Is Quarles going to get in trouble for that assault charge?
You know what?
Or the alleged assault charge?
That's a great question. I think that was probably one of the reasons that he did drop in the draft, to be quite honest with you. So, you know what? I'm not sure about that. I think it's an excellent question. I think that's kind of a wait and see. No one knows how, you know, the courts are going to, you know, play out or anything like that.
I just don't get how these guys stand to make a few million dollars and literally a week or two before you get in trouble. Like, you can't just sit in the house and just sit on your hands, watch TV.
I hear you. Look, and the other guys, too, you got Ethan Malimaniuna, the defensive end. Kerry Wynn is a guy with a good size-speed combination of defensive tackle. And then you have Thomas Gordon and Justin Anderson. I think those guys will be hard-pressed to find a roster spot. They'll be given the opportunity, obviously, but it'll be tough.
I mean, I tend to, you know, read a lot on the draft a lot, you know, for months and months.
Yeah.
It's actually something I really enjoy. And one of my magazines actually had Xavier Grimble. I know he's not official yet, but they had him ranked as the fifth best prospect at tight end. So I'm really
number
hoping
five,
for him.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for him. You know, I'm not saying that he's going to be a star or a stud,
right,
but as far as what we have available right now, you know, he might offer a little something as
hey,
far
look,
as pass
he,
catching goes.
He was a very big recruit coming out of high school, and he was recruited heavily by a lot of the top programs. He decided to go to USC, and you know, things just didn't work out for him there. It's you know, kind of similar in some respects to, you know, Will Hill. Will Hill was a, you know, highly recruited player out of high school, and it just didn't work out for him at Florida. And you hope you can catch lightning in a bottle with that, like that, with some of these other undrafted free agents.
I mean, I have one last question. It's kind of off topic.
That's fine.
Mike Pope. I really felt like he turned a lot of, you know, average players or scrubs into, you know, something decent for us. Do you really think that he just wasn't a good tight ends coach, or he just really didn't fit McAdoo's system and they were just trying to clean house?
My thought, and again, I don't know, you know, exactly what happened. I can just go by what they, you know, Tom Coughlin said. And really, they haven't really given, like, a real reason publicly. I don't think they ever will, because they don't want to, you know, say anything bad about Mike Pope, is they still love him in the building. I mean, he's coached here for almost 20 years. I think he's a good coach. My feeling is that once they brought in a new offensive coordinator, they wanted to bring in some new blood with him, get a little bit younger, get some new ideas. And I don't think it was a surprise that the two guys they decided to let go were the two guys that have been here the longest and have been in the league the longest. Mike Pope and Gerald Engerman have both been with Tom, you know, since like the early 90s, late 80s. So I think they kind of just wanted to do things a little bit differently, change things up. And I think Mike Pope was kind of a victim of out with the old and in with the new, and nothing personal in terms of his individual coaching ability. That's how I saw it. You know, who knows what the real reason is, but that's my impression of why they decided to make the change.
All right, and I appreciate your time, and don't worry, you're not the only one feeling away about Steve Kerr right now.
Yeah, it's a shame, too. I think he's a good guy, but I think he really kind of, you know, led New York along and was just waiting for Golden State to show up with the better gift.
Yeah, I read an article even about 2-3 weeks ago, and they were saying that he was using the Knicks as leverage for the Lakers job. So I was surprised that it ended up being the Warriors, but I kind of saw it coming when they were writing articles about it. You could see that he's kind of playing games.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. Why was it taking so long? You know, we were sitting here just waiting for it to happen, waiting for it to happen. These negotiations don't usually take 3 weeks, and they were basically at it with Steve Kerr for a damn month. And, you know, you're just sitting there, and you're like, you know, I got a bad feeling about this. And bam, there you go. The first time he actually gets the interview with Golden State, he takes the job right away. That tells you that's what he wanted from the get-go.
And Bleacher Report, I'm sitting at work about 2-3 days ago. They report Knicks close to deal. He's about to sign for 4 years. And then the next day, boom, he's the Warriors coach. I'm like, all right, I know Bleacher Report isn't the most, you know, trustworthy and credited source, but how do we go from he's literally about to sign the deal and then now he's gone?
And it wasn't even just them. ESPN had it, Yahoo had it, Adrian Wojnarowski had it, everybody had it. So, you know, they weren't alone. Thanks, Christian.
All right, have a good one.
Appreciate it, man. See? My fellow fans feeling my pain. I appreciate that. And, you know, I get it. You know, he made a good decision for him and his family. I would have picked the Warriors, too. It doesn't make Knicks fans any happier. 201-939-4513. Phil's in Montclair. Phil, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Smug? How you doing?
Nothing. Doing well, Phil. How about you?
I'm all right. I know I asked you this question on Twitter, but I was I'm very curious about what the Giants are going to do with tight end, and I was wondering if they were looking at Jermichael Finley.
I'm sure the Giants have an eye on him, Phil. I'm sure they're looking at him, but first things first, he has to pass his physical. He has to get the X-ray and the MRI back showing that his neck is healed. I mean, he had a really serious neck injury. For a while, they thought he was never going to play again. So until that gets resolved, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with Jermichael Finley. But look, considering who's on the roster, the Giants would be foolish not to take a look at him once he does get healthy.
Right, because I remember Jerry Reese. Remember the guy Jerry Reese drafted? Remember he said he's the JPP of tight ends? I think his name was Robinson.
Adrian Robinson. I'm sure that's something Adrian Jerry Robinson. Reese wishes he never said, but yes, he did say that.
His playing time is probably going to be the same as last year, right?
Well, I mean, the Giants hope to get a little bit more out of him this year than they did last year. I mean, he was basically inactive for 13 of the 16 games. I mean, I think they hope to get some production, that maybe he'll fit in better with this new offense than he did with the old one. I think that's the hope. You know, we'll see. I mean, I don't think there's any guarantee with Adrian Robinson. He might have, you know, the height, weight, and speed and all that stuff that people like to talk about, but he hasn't shown that he's a very good football player so far, and that's what he needs to show Tom Coughlin and the coaching staff to earn his way on the field, because they're not going to give it to him, Phil, and they shouldn't. You can't just give these young guys a job and say, go run with it. You got to earn it in practice, and he hasn't earned anything, and that's the problem.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, because, you know, the defense, I'm pretty satisfied the moves they made. I think they're going to be very solid. I like the offensive picks that they made. But I just thought that we just shied away from tight end, whatever. And we got a new coordinator. You know, his system is going to, you know, use the tight end a lot, like how they were using tight end in Green Bay, being that he's going to use the same, you know, philosophy over there. But what I was saying, like, you're going to bring a new guy in and not give him all the tools you need to make the offense better. That doesn't make any sense to me. They could have drafted a tight end with the second pick, but they went center.
Yeah, honestly, and I get that. I think an offensive lineman was probably a little bit more important at that point than a tight end, so I understand the decision. But you're right. Right now they have a bit of a hole at tight end, and McAdoo's going to have to work around it, or the Giants will have to add somebody between now and the draft to, you know, secure that position a little bit. Because you're right. Right now they're shorthanded, and they have one of the weaker units in the league at that position, no doubt about it.
But, I mean, I like the offensive – you know, moves that we have, like players that we have, you know, receivers, unless he's just going to go, you know, 4 or 5 receivers and no tight end, just have the tight ends we have as blockers. I mean, I'm sure that could work. Not every team has a superstar every position, but I always thought we needed someone solid. You know, every time Eli had a really good year, we had a, you know, solid tight end that got you 40, 50 catches, you know, was his blanket in tough situations. I really think we need that this year.
Look, I hear you, man. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, John.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call, dude. 201-939-4513. All right, I'm going to get to James all the way down in Ecuador. I don't want that phone bill to get too high for James. We'll get to him quickly. James, what's going on?
Yeah, hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm a former Ohio resident. I still have a residency there, but I've lived in Ecuador for 5 years and you know, an avid Giants fan, always have been. I'm actually from Syracuse, New York, so all those guys who criticize the picks out of Syracuse, I'm not real happy with that.
Well, James, I have a question for you real quick. What brings you down to Ecuador? I'm just curious what you're doing down there, and do you like it?
Well, it's an interesting story, John. I won't go into all of it, but bottom line is the recession. And we all know the different stories of people that got caught up in the recession, and the stories are just amazing. But for me, you know, at 57 years old, a banker, I wasn't going to get another job.
Right.
You know, everybody laying off and that. I was working for Bank of America at the time, and it just wasn't happening. So I vacationed in Ecuador for 4 years prior. So I decided, you know what? I don't have a job, don't have an income. After looking for a job for a year and a half.
Wow.
In 2009, I just said, you know what? I got to move, and I got to move to someplace that's economical. So for $350 a month, I was able to live here for 3 years until I could collect early Social Security at 62. So it was a game plan.
That sounds like a hell of a plan.
Well, fortunately, it worked out. So, you know, not without issues, but you do what you got to do. And when the recession hurt so many other people, probably much worse than situations than myself. But anyway, that's why I'm here.
Excellent.
And I live on the ocean, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that is not a bad thing at all, James. All right, let's talk some Giants football. What do you got for me?
Yeah, first of all, the Steve Kerr thing. Just a brief comment.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Steve Kerr. Okay, I don't see what he did wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you know, the idea that he led the New York Knicks down a row. I'm a Knicks fan too, but I don't think he did anything other than negotiate. I mean, if he's guilty of anything, that's what he's guilty of, negotiating.
No, look, James, I agree. You know, from a business standpoint, he did what he had to do. And from his personal perspective, he wound up where he wanted to wind up, and he got the maximum dollar value by using the Knicks that he got from Golden State. So from his perspective, he handled it exactly the right way. But you have to understand, as a Knicks fan, you hate when you want a guy, he expresses interest, but then he chooses another team over you because he thinks they're a better fit. You know, I get why you would be upset over that.
Well, let me just say this, John. I'm from Akron, Ohio. Okay, that's where I've lived the past 15 years, other than moving to Ecuador here 4 or 5 years ago. But I went through this LeBron James thing.
Oh boy!
And so talk about being upset. That's something I'll go to my grave with right there. That to me was just. That was worthless.
Going on national TV to basically stick your finger in the eye of the people that you grew up with was a little bit rough.
Yeah, if you want to talk about how intelligent he is and everything like that, well, you'll always go back to that incident and say, well, how smart was that idea?
No question.
You know, so there's no forgiveness there. So, but anyway, going forward, the two guys that were. There's some talk about today, this tight end from Southern Cal. I think there's big issues with him. Let me put it this way. This guy, as I've done some reading and a little bit of research this morning on this guy, watched some of his plays. The upside to this guy, he's a Jake Ballard type. I see him as a Jake Ballard type. He's not going to overwhelm you with athleticism and other things that you look at from the Mark Barbaro that you want. But he is going to catch the ball. He could be used really in the red zone. I think this guy, you know, because of his hands, because of his size, I think he could help us in the red zone. So anyway, I think he has some upside, but I think motivation is a problem with this kid. You can't have that kind of size and not produce.
I agree.
You know, at the levels that he's been expected to produce at. So anyway, him and the other guy, this offensive lineman they got, I think he's nothing more than a practice player. I did my research and I read a little bit about him. There's really not much to talk about. The guy doesn't. He's not motivated. I don't think he's got the stones to be a Giant. Let's put it that way.
Who doesn't have the stones, James? I'm sorry.
The guy who that they signed today, or going to sign today, this offensive lineman. He's got his Webb.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got two last names. Yeah, I don't think there's much to talk about with.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
guy,
yeah, I mean, honest. I don't think that's a big deal either. I mean, he's a journeyman. He's been on a few different teams. You know, he's a training camp body. He's depth. I'm not sure if he's much more than that.
Okay, and now my final comment, and I appreciate the time that you've given me here. Final comment is going back before the draft. Our immediate concern was the offensive line. We know that the offensive line is the straw that stirs the drink, a take from Reggie Jackson. But it's true, and we've learned that, we know that. So what we did in free agency as far as picking up guys, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in those guys. Okay, well, you do what you can. But I just think that you got to put even Tom Coughlin, as much as I love the guy, you got to put him on notice because we all know at the beginning of the draft, at the season, we all knew where we had to go, where we had to get stronger, and what we had to do to get this offense and get Eli rolling again. Eli's a product of the system. And if you don't have an offensive line that's as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar, Eli will not perform for us. So we need to stop banging on Eli. He took us to two Super Bowls. He hasn't gotten worse from that. We know what the problems are, and so we need to get that offensive line. We need to get them moving, get them upright, and be effective. Because if we're not effective at the offensive line, we can't be doing patchwork offense like we did last year. We all know that. So I'm just saying, we put on notice the management that brought in these guys. Jerry Reese, who brought in these offensive linemen, they got to get it right this time.
Yeah, they do.
Or as far as I'm concerned, their jobs are online. If the offensive line breaks down again, and we got all these issues, and the team can't function, because they won't without an offensive line. If they can't function, if it's a mess like it is last year, people got to go, and that includes Tom Coughlin.
Thanks for the call, James.
That's
I appreciate it.
That's all I got for you, John. Thanks a lot again for the time, and we'll talk to you again. I'm a first-time caller, so let's keep it going.
Hopefully I'll hear from you again soon, James. Enjoy Ecuador and have fun on the beach today, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye, John.
Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. I'm officially jealous of James. Ecuador, that sounds awesome. Man. Make me thinking about honeymoon in Thailand. Can't get here quick enough. 201-939-4513. Let's see who's up next here. Derek, I'm sorry, this is Dennis up in Plattsburgh. He's been holding the longest. Dennis, what's going on?
Hi, John.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm doing okay. I could be a little happier this morning, but otherwise I'm doing okay.
Well, I don't know. We'll get you some pills. Will Hills can get you some pills.
No. Well done.
All right. No, actually, I'm kind of sympathetic to the guy. I don't really know what he's been caught taking, but if it's marijuana, the thing is going to be gone away in another 5 years?
Yeah, probably.
And it's just a periodic thing, a period thing where we're concerned and then we're not going to be concerned. But anyway, Beattie, I have a question. Actually, starting in 2012, towards the end of the year, I saw that he wasn't able to handle edge rushers well. He was really corralling them with a hook around their neck. He was getting called on holding penalties. It seemed like he couldn't handle the edge rushers, and he, or it was you know, as the season was progressing, it was becoming harder for him. And then last year he had a bad year, and I don't remember exactly how all of his sacks that he gave up occurred, but is it possible? This is the thing. This is an optimistic point. Is it possible that the disruption in the offensive line actually contributed to whatever? I mean, it was more of like a head thing than it was a physical thing. You know, he wasn't physically inept. He was mentally inept somehow. And is it possible that with Jeff Schwartz sitting next to him and maybe a little more solid line further on down the road, that he's going to have a much better year?
Yes. I think it is possible that Will Beattie comes in and has a much better year. And I think, you know, Lance brings this up a lot when he hosts the show, Dennis. And then I think, you know, I think it's fair, too. One of the things that probably contributed to Beattie's struggles last year was the fact that he always had a different guard next to him. There were so many injuries in that spot. It was a revolving door. And not knowing who's next to him, I think, certainly helped him. So I think that's going to help him. And, you know, some guys react to new contracts differently. Some guys, you know, get comfortable. Other guys maybe feel more pressure. You know, I feel like Will Beattie maybe felt a little pressure coming off that new contract. And maybe now he's over that in year number two, and he can get back to playing the way he did in that Super Bowl year of 2011 or 2012, the year afterwards, when he played some of his best football. So I do think that Will Beattie can bounce back. I think the Giants, quite frankly, based on what they did in the draft and free agency, are counting on Will Beattie to bounce back. And I think having stability next to him, and frankly, having an offensive line that plays together for more than a couple games at a time, which they never had last year, will help build chemistry. And then you get a situation where the sum of the parts is a lot bigger than the parts as individuals, which is really what you need as an offensive line.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you're in a way, you're just saying what I've been thinking. I can't really express it as well as you have, but there it is. Robinson is the next thing. Adrian Robinson. I heard you I actually should have written it down because I heard you say something. I don't know that Robinson has had any opportunity to prove whether he's good or bad.
Well, he has in practice.
And he wasn't bad in practice last year.
How do you know that?
I thought I was reading that. What do I know? You were there.
For one, the media is not allowed during the game planning and that part of practice. I can kind of stick my head in there, but I'm not allowed to report what I see. It's part of the rules. But I will say this. With the way the Giants had issues last year at tight end, if Adrian Robinson showed the coaching staff in practice that he was ready to play and good enough to play, they would have gotten him on the field. And the fact that they didn't, I think, tells you everything you need to know.
Well, wait a minute. That they had just hired Myers. Wasn't he the heir apparent to that position? And doesn't that really put Adrian in a deficit?
It did to start the year, but you got to the point midway through the year where it was clear that Brandon Myers wasn't working out and they were looking for somebody to step in and even be that second tight end on the roster because of injuries and such. And Adrian Robinson couldn't beat out a journeyman like Bear Pascoe. He couldn't beat out a journeyman like Larry Donnell. And they were getting jerseys instead of him. And I think that really tells you that the kid wasn't ready to play football last year, which is a big problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not a good thing to hear.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
All right, last thing, and then I'll get off. And it's Williams. I think he's going to be—he's just going to be the knock you out kind of guy. He's going to be the star. We're all going to get really excited about him somewhere along the line.
Andre Williams, you're talking about, right? The running back.
Yeah, Andre Williams.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. If I have no idea how good this line is going to be, I think they could have done a little bit better, but I think that. You know, with the question mark around Snead, if he does okay, and if we start doing some road grading kinds of blocking for running backs, if we move back towards that idea, I think he could have a great season, and along with Jennings as well. I mean, I know Jennings is going to be the starter, the presumptive starter. Anyway, am I saying that right, Jennings? Am I getting the name right?
Yeah. Rashad Jennings was their running back's free agent signing from Oakland. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. We could start seeing some old-style Giants football, where we control the ball with the running game and then the short passes in the supposed West Coast offense.
No.
Or, if, West Coast style offense.
No, I agree. I think Jennings will be a big weapon, not only running the football. I think he's going to be huge in the screen game, which I think, you know, the Giants finally are going to do a lot better this year with a new offensive coordinator and new players.
Right, and training for Eli to actually complete this.
Well, yeah, that too.
All right. I'm done.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. 201-939-4513. Good to hear from Dennis up in Plattsburgh. He's haven't heard from him in a long, long time. Let's see. Did I skip somebody here? We'll get to Steve in a second. He said 10:20. He's got a couple more minutes to go. 201-939-4513. Captain Chuckles, Charlie in Portland, Maine. What's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, I don't know why everyone's so worried about the tight end position because, you know, under Jerry Reese, like he said in his press conference, we, you know, tight ends are not predominant in our offense. They've never been predominant in our offense. And tell you the truth, I don't really, you know, value tight ends that much, just like I didn't value linebackers last year and I didn't value running backs last year. And that's why we didn't get any until it was too late. So, if he doesn't even have Ebron on his top 10 list of the best players on the draft, he doesn't value tight ends. So what we have is going to be what we got, unless, you know, they go after Finley, you know, if he passes his medical and he can get him cheap, that will be it. But it seems like Reese doesn't have much, you know, value for tight ends. So there you go. So people worried about a tight end, picking up another tight end. I think what's on the roster is going to be it, unless, you know, somebody gets cut that's really good or something. But, you know, because he doesn't value it. And I guess in McAdoo's system, you know, I guess McAdoo doesn't have a lot of say. I guess he can use other people besides the tight end because it seems like we're going to use the tight end for mostly blocking, and we've got those guys.
Yeah, and frankly, and it's funny, somebody else just mentioned online, Charlie, they asked me the question, who else besides Finley as free agents are available? And, you know, the list is pretty short. You got Dustin Keller, who's not much of a blocker. He's much more of a receiver, so I'm not sure he's a good fit. Then you got Ben Hartstock. I think Ben Hartstock is a guy that fits that blocker mold that you're talking about. So if you want to bring in a veteran blocker, I think a guy like Ben Hartstock would be a good option.
Right, and which I think we already have. And I think
Kellen Davis should be fine doing that.
Right. Hopefully Robinson, because it will be an easier playbook to manage, you know, under McAdoo, hopefully, than Gilbride's system, that he'll be able to pick it up.
That's the goal.
Easier.
That's the goal.
Yeah, and hopefully he can stay healthy. That's the whole point. But, I mean, I just don't think the offense is going to, you know, just the way Reese is talking and the way, you know, I think he's totally wrong, of course, but, he has blind spots. He's got more blind spots than, you know, I don't know. But, we're going to go with what we have, and, you know, they have other weapons they can use. You know, they've got their wide receivers, and they've got the running backs, and they're going to do a lot of passing on, you know, passing to running backs, I think. Hopefully a lot of screens, a lot of that kind of thing. Because if you remember last year, the first game of the year, when we scored 31 points, but we were, you know, we had injuries to the running backs, and Reese did not want to sign Jacobs the first week, because he would have had to guarantee his contract for the whole year. So he didn't want to sign him the first week, so he decided to sign him the second week, which we had him the whole year anyway.
Yeah.
And guess what? If Jacobs was there in that game, we wouldn't have had Darrell Scott coming in for Wilson, and maybe that last drive with Jacobs knowing the system and knowing where to go on a screen pass, that game could have turned out totally different.
No, Charlie, in retrospect, the Giants should have signed Brandon Jacobs. If they were planning to sign him in, bring him in, which they obviously were planning on doing, they should have brought him in the middle of August. The heck with before the first week of the season.
I know, but that was Reese. He was just like, he didn't do anything about depth on the offensive line. He knew Snead and Boss were injured, coming back from serious injuries. He didn't get any veterans for backups. I mean, you know, I can go on and on with Jerry Reese's decisions over the last couple of years, including his draft this year, and his, like I said, his blind spots on positions. He just, you know, he just doesn't see them, or he doesn't care to see them. But I think, you know, like I said, I gave him a C+ on the people he picked, but I also gave him an F on the people he passed. And Ebron is going to be the rookie of the year on the offense in the NFL, and Donald's going to be the defensive rookie of the year on the defense in the NFL. And we passed both of those guys. We could have got both of them. We could have got Ebron. All we had to do was go up maybe two spots to pick him up.
Yeah, Charlie, I hear you. And look, and you know, no one, you couldn't find somebody that was a bigger Ebron guy than me in the first round. I think he's going to be a heck of an NFL player. I would not have traded up for him. I got to be honest with you. No one, I really think he's going to be a dynamic pass-assing tight end. But to me, I'd rather have Odell Beckham at 12 than trade a third-round pick to move up a couple spots to get Eric Ebron. Honestly, I would.
Really? I would have rather have him. If you looked at him as a wide receiver and not looked at him as the tight end, I think if you looked at him as a wide receiver, I think he would be a better wide receiver than Evans and I think and Beckham. He's a big guy. He can catch the ball. He'll stretch the field. You can put him in multi-spots. And that's what Detroit's going to do. Now they've got their number two receiver. You know, he would have probably been his number one, but, you know, Megatron's number one. So now they got Megatron on one side, Ebron on the other. And we're going to have fun on Monday night.
Boy.
We're going to see how good our secondary is.
I cannot
is.
Wait to hear from Charlie the week before that first regular season game. You are going to be predicting like a 59-17 loss. You are so terrified of that first. What do you got?
52-24.
Oh, boy. Charlie.
If we don't have a pass rush, it's going to be 52-24. But with Dykey there, I say he will make the 53 roster.
Oh, that is okay. That is a bold
right.
prediction, Charlie. I appreciate the call, my friend. Good to hear
okay,
from you.
John,
by the way,
have a great weekend.
And by the way, Charlie, your man Lance is hosting tomorrow. If you want to give him a call,
yes, I might do that.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Bye. All right. By the way, Lance Meadow is in tomorrow for me. By the way, I got to shoot in with Steve Weatherford in Manhattan somewhere. I got to be at so. Lance will be in tomorrow. I already warned him that Ann in D.C. plans to call in and tell him what she really thinks. We had some good chatter on Twitter overnight about good nicknames for Ann. Ann the Giant Whisperer. Ann the Mysterious Government Employee. We had some good ones. 201-939-4513. That's about that time. I'll bring him up now. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Man, your time is impeccable, man. Thank your staff for letting me hold, John. My app on my phone is not where I got to take my phone, so that's really the only way I can listen to the show.
Not a problem.
So I really appreciate that. Man, I got a long list. You know, I know I always ramble on, and I get off the phone. I'm like, man, I sound like a jerk. But let me go through my stuff, and then I will talk to you for a minute. First of all, my man Charlie, man, you got to ease up on Jerry. Because, first of all, I mean, does he realize this is actual business? You know, everybody could talk about in hindsight that we should have signed Jacobs, you know, from the very beginning. But nobody knew what he was going to bring to the table.
No, Steve, I agree. But in fairness, we were saying back last July already that everyone thought the Giants needed to bring in another veteran running back. That is something that everybody was saying even in the summer. And so were you.
Yes, I was. And who we bring in? We brought in Peyton Hillis. We got a fullback that was supposed to make a difference. You know, Wilson ended up getting hurt. Who knew? Okay, who knew? I wish we could have got, you know, had Jacobs, you know, in the preseason and, you know, gave him a rest. But who knows if it even stayed healthy? Who knows? So I realize it's all about balancing the checkbook. And, you know, back in there, that's really my next subject is about the tight end.
Yep.
Obviously, you can say we need a tight end, this and the other. I think the coaches know better than we do. And if Tom Coughlin and McAdoo really needed a tight end, I'm pretty sure Jerry Reese would have got him one. So, I mean, I just think that they don't have it that priority. I don't think it's necessarily Jerry Reese. If the coaches say they need one, he's not the one. You know, Jerry Reese is not the side of the scheme. I'm pretty sure it may not necessarily be who we want. But, you know, this guy has to balance the checkbook. And as far as that is concerned, I give him an A for every year he's been there. And it's about positioning yourself. We don't always make the right choices, but you have to figure out where you're going to spend the money. And, you know, that's the big thing that bothers me about our team. I love Eli, but I always feel like he's getting paid too much. And that's hurting us. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we have to spend so much money in order for him to even function at an acceptable level when other teams, you know, who have a quarterback who either have a quick release. I'm not saying Eli has to be able to run the ball, even though it would be nice if he could do something laterally. I don't know if I'm saying vertically, but if he could just get more lateral movement out of him to where we can keep defenses more honest, then we may be able to spend a little bit less money on the offensive line. You know, let's just face it. You know, we have to spend way more than the average team does on an offensive line protecting Eli. And that's why I don't think he should be getting $20 million a year. We answered the center position. That is Eli's biggest handicap, pressure up the middle. So I think that is a great pick. You know, keep people out directly out of his face, and I think we'll get a lot more production.
And, Steve, not only that, but the center also sets up the protections for everybody else to make sure Eli stays clean. So I think having a really good center communicating there has a ripple effect that can help the rest of the line too.
Absolutely, and I don't know what caller brought that up to, but I think that that definitely will play a big difference in our offense being able to, you know, function the way we want it to function. John, I have a couple questions for you real quick. What are we going to do with Heinoski and John Connor?
They will compete. They will compete. One of the two will make the team, whichever one either stays healthy or plays better in training camp. It's going to be a hell of a competition.
Okay, well, you already know what the fan favorite is. I'm not going to speak for the fans.
Steve, who do you want? Do you want the Terminator or do you want the Rhino?
I'm a Terminator dude, man. I'm a Terminator. Bring me the Terminator. I'm sorry, I love how he's done, but he's just more explosive. And you know, and he's healthy. I don't know, you know, if Heinoski is healthy at this point. You know, I hope he is. I like the guy. I want to see him, you know, continue his career. You know, whether it's with us or, you know, with another team. But I just don't know where he's at health wise. So.
Well, Steve, but you know what though, Steve? One sec before you finish, and I'll let you finish. I do agree that, look, I think every good quarterback, especially the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's, you know, those type of guys, you know, they need good offensive line. So I don't think Eli is the only quarterback that needs an offensive line. But I will say this.
No.
As a general statement, if Eli Manning is going to make $20-plus million a year, he's got to be more productive and more consistent than he's been the last couple of seasons. Of that, there's little doubt.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, my thing is I think he will be with the having to be more disciplined. I just think he got too comfortable. Eli was much better on a short passing game earlier in his career when he had to care about what other people thought. I think, like, as he's gotten more comfortable, he's like, look, the ball's where it is. Go and get it. I'm Eli Manning. You know, so I just feel like, you know, we're just going to change the scheme up a little bit more. And, you know, talking to the one caller who wanted to bring a subject up, I think that's going to be the biggest difference in our success is Eli being more willing to check down, being more accurate with his shorter passes in the screen game. I think that that's going to keep defenses off of him a little bit more. And I think that's really what you see from the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's. They're not mobile guys, but they get rid of the ball. Eli, you know what I'm saying, Eli holds on to the ball too long sometimes. And, you know, as a result of it is what it is, you know. Turnovers, you know, sacks, whatever the case may be. So I'm really just hoping that, you know, McAdoo will, you know, will have us doing shorter passes and using the screen games. I don't really know how important the tight end is going to be to the scheme right now. But like I said, I have all the confidence in the world that if Tom Coughlin and McAdoo said, look, we're going to feature a tight end, but we would probably have a close to premier tight end. I mean, do you agree with that statement, John? I mean, don't you feel like the coaches, if they really need one, that, you know, Jerry Reese would have went and got him one? Or you feel like he's just hey, you get what you get?
That's a good question. You know, you would like to think, Steve, that there's, you know, good communications where if the coaches said we need a certain type of tight end, that they would, you know, get him for him. But I'll say this, and I don't think I have a 100% sure answer for you. The way the Giants operate, I know I've explained this to a couple people before, they're very independent. They let the front office pick the players and the coaches coach them. So the coaches don't really get that involved in picking players, and the front office doesn't get that involved in coaching players. It's just the way the powers are separate here. It's the way it's always been here. Even going back to, you know, George Young and Bill Parcells, and they used to butt heads in the early 90s when, you know, Parcells wanted certain players, Young wanted other players, and George Young gave Parcells the players that George Young wanted. And that was, you know, that I think that's one of the reasons Parcells, you know, had that old saying, you know, if I'm in the kitchen and I'm the chef, I want to be able to pick the groceries. Do you know why? When he was at the Giants, he didn't have the chance to pick the groceries. And I think, you know, that's kind of how it's operated here. You know, I'm sure the front office asked the coaches their opinion, do we think we need more help here, more help there? They're in these organizational meetings. They talk about this stuff. There's no doubt about it. So there must be some level of consensus here that there's, you know, maybe satisfied is the wrong word. Tom Coughlin would whack me in the back of the head if I used the word satisfied. But, you know, they must be at least content to a certain extent with the tight ends they have. And, again, I think they probably feel like they can bring in somebody late in free agency to maybe help. But right now, honestly, I'm a little disappointed. A guy like Owen Daniels was on the free agent market for a while. He didn't sign for a lot of money in Baltimore. He could have been a good fit.
Well, somebody just – what's the tight end in Chicago? I just saw something yesterday where there's a tight end leaving Chicago.
I'm not sure who you're talking about. I mean, Martellus Bennett's the starter there. I don't know who else they got.
I thought it was – last name was Davis, maybe. Who's the tight end out there, John?
The starting tight end for the Bears is Martellus Bennett. I'm trying to think of who their second guy is.
Okay, because I just saw – because I was like, oh, man, it may have not been the Bears. I saw what was a pretty much a – maybe it was Miami. It was Miami. Who do they got? Do you have – is it Kellen Davis?
He got hurt. Let me see. Hold on. Let me break the Dolphins roster for you.
You know, while you're doing that, John, I want to talk about Will Hill real quick.
Yeah, sure.
And I heard you say something about, I'm a Florida alumni, right, John?
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, I'm a Florida alumni. You know, I played 1 year, 92-93, walked on. Chris Doran was my roommate at the time, but I played behind Ronnie Groh.
What position?
Defensive back.
Okay.
So anyway, but no, all I was going to say is, man, Will Hill did his thing in Florida. Yeah, he got into a couple, you know, problems, but he was a premier player in Florida. He was, he didn't really have, I mean, the troubles he brought on himself, but as far as on the field, he got every opportunity to be successful and was very successful in Florida.
But he didn't have so much success where he got drafted, though. I mean, there was a limit to how good he did, considering the fact that nobody even drafted him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, his off-the-field issues definitely hurt him, and unfortunately, he'll continue to hurt him.
All right, Steve, I got Miami tight ends here. I got Deion Sims, who I think is more of a roster filler than anything else. Kyle Miller, another young guy. Arthur Lynch, who they drafted out of Georgia. Charles Clay is a guy that they converted from fullback to tight end, who was basically their primary receiver from tight end last year. And he's actually a pretty good player.
Okay. Well, I was Chicago. It was either Chicago or Miami. But anyway, my thing is this. You know, Jerry Reese may be picking the groceries, but he's not picking the meal. And, that, you know, head coach and the offensive coordinator are saying, look, we're cooking lasagna. These are the ingredients we need. Go get them. I don't think that, we're just like systematically saying, well, we're going to get these players and make them fit into your scheme. So I could be wrong, but I really doubt that. I think they kind of elaborate, I don't think they would have as good a relationship as they do if Jerry Reese wasn't at least trying to, collaborate with these guys and get them the players they need. So, John, that's really all I got for today, but you know I'm waiting for Friday. Oh, my God.
Thanks.
She was very subdued. Now, I actually agree with something she said, but, I hope she brings it, and I wish you would have called Paul in on it. Why did you do that? You should have let Paul deal with it. But, man, listen, great show, man. I'll be listening up, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend, man. I'll talk to you next week.
You too.
201-939-4513. And the question I answered before about the tight ends being available was from Acid07. So just want to give him, he says he can't call him, but he listens to the podcast. So there's your shout-out, buddy. You got it. 201-939-4513. I did ask your question, by the way, before. Just didn't give the handle, which was my bad. Let's go to Matt in New York. He's been holding the longest. Matt, you're up next.
How you doing, John?
What's up, Matty?
I actually just have two questions.
Sure.
If David Wilson is healthy and he is cleared, who do you think will be the best dynamic duo who can complement each other in the backfield between, Andre Williams, Payne Hillis, Michael Cox, or Rashad Jennings?
I think it'll be a trio, to be honest with you. I think the Giants will legitimately use three running backs, and I think it'll be Wilson, Jennings, and Williams. I think Wilson will be that change of pace, big play guy, use him as a bit of a receiver out of the backfield sometimes. Jennings will be your do-it-all back, and then Andre Williams will be your situational between-the-tackles power-running type of guy.
Red zone back, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then my next question, out of all the free agents that we have, even the undrafted free agents, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact this season?
Just the undrafted guys or including the guys they drafted too?
Including the guys that drafted in the offseason.
You know what? And I know people are probably going to think I'm crazy, especially considering he's not the first-round pick. I think Weston Richburg might actually have a bigger impact than Odell Beckham, just because I think it's so important to protect Eli Manning. I think it might be Richburg. Look, Beckham can step in and start right away too, and I think he's going to be a huge player this year, don't get me wrong, and I think he's going to make a big impact. But I just think Richburg, with the type of player that he is and the smarts that he has, I think he can not only help the offensive line because of his individual play, Matt, but I think he can also help everybody else with his calling out blocking schemes and things like that.
All right. And I'd just like to say, I hear a lot of more callers who sound positive about the Giants this season today rather than yesterday, which is a good sign. Thank you very much for having me. Got to get back to work.
Hey, appreciate the call, Matt. Thanks, man. Get back to work. I don't want you to get into trouble there. 201-939-4513. Kyle's down in Florida. Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing well, Kyle. How are you?
Here.
Oh, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff family, Kyle.
Appreciate it. First of all, I wanted to talk about Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
I mean, that kid's going to be special. People are concerned about the size. I mean, what is he, 2 inches shorter than Akeem Nicks? But he makes up for it with his vertical. He had, 39-inch vertical at the combine?
He had one of the best vertical leaps at the combine, and he's a strong receiver, too. He's very thick. He can, box people out
a
little bit
catcher.
And use his strength.
Yeah, he's a hands catcher. He high points the ball. I think he's going to be extremely useful in the West Coast offense. The one thing that concerned me, people are big about his return ability. I wasn't big on his kickoff returns. But that brings me to my question. David Wilson, if he's healthy, do you think the Giants would let him kick return?
That's a great question. Yes, I think he would be in the mix. The question would remain as to, A, who they think would be best at it. I can't believe they'd find somebody better than David Wilson. And number two, depending on what kind of role he has on offense, do they want to risk him back there? I think those are all things you would have to look at.
I think the risk is the biggest concern, but, man,
right.
I'd never seen a more consistent kickoff returner than David Wilson.
He was excellent.
Field position was huge that year. I mean, imagine where our offense would be without being at the 30-yard line every single time we returned it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You actually have a big play guy in here now that can just do returns, too, in Trindon Holiday, assuming he doesn't fumble the football.
Yeah,
he's as good of a kick returner as David Wilson is.
Oh, yeah. He's great, but, I mean, his fumble concerns are big.
Oh, huge.
I mean, at Coughlin's not going to really play that. Coughlin's a ball security guy, and, I hear Will Demps is good, but he's more of like a consistent 20 to 25 yards guy, which is nice. But David Wilson, man, he had the consistency, he had the ball security, at least kick returns, and he had the explosiveness. And I thought that was a huge asset. I just never knew. I never really considered him for the kickoff after the neck injury. Those were all the biggest hits come. That's why they moved the kickoff.
Right. I will make this very simple for Trindon Holiday. If he does not fumble the football in a preseason game, I believe he will be on this football team. If he does fumble the ball in a preseason game or has a lot of issues holding on to the ball and catching the ball in training camp practice, he won't be on the team. It's really going to be that simple.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see where the roster spot for him is with his punt returner. I mean, he's a great punt kick returner, but he has that fumble problem, and Odell Beckham can return punts. That's one thing that excited me. He's a good punt returner. He's got sure hands. He can actually do something with the ball other than Reuben Randall, who gave you like 6-7 yards and then fell down. I mean, his vision on kickoffs just wasn't on par with David Wilson, Trindon Holiday, which, I mean, is all right. I don't think Odell Beckham should be too good to end up playing special teams in the long run.
Right.
You don't want your starting wide receiver playing kick returns. But he at wide receiver, he's going to be a huge help for Eli Manning.
I agree. It's funny, and on Odell Beckham for a second, one of our Twitter followers, at GoToWideReceiver80, made a good point. He loves Odell Beckham, but the one issue he did have, he only had 7 on the bench press at the combine, and he did struggle in college getting off press coverage at the line of scrimmage. So if there's one thing that Beckham needs to work on in the pros, it's beating press coverage. So that'll be something the Giants coaching staff could certainly work with him on over the course of the offseason.
I agree there, but if you noticed in college, nobody really tried to press him because you got to be concerned with that speed.
Right.
He'll fly by. Plus, he's got quick feet. I mean, he's not good with his hand movement, his hand placement, beating the press, but he's got that quick feet to get right around you.
He's very quick and shifty side to side, so he can certainly use that to his advantage, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I just wanted to call and ask about David Wilson. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kyle. Welcome aboard. Hope to hear from you again soon.
All right, will do.
Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. Let's stay in Tampa Bay, or stay in Florida, and slide over to Tampa Bay and say hello to Frank. Frank, you're up next. What's up?
Hey, John. I had to call in. You were so kind to be concerned about my well-being the last couple of days. Call and give you some hints and perspective. You know, you're at a wonderful stage of your life, and you know, look forward. I mean, short term, you got a wonderful party coming up and a trip to Thailand, and long term, a beautiful bride and a wonderful life ahead of you. And
now, Frank, I need a head coach for my basketball team. How about that? that would make my present state of mind a lot better. And I don't want that next coach to be Bill Cartwright either. I would, you know, jump off the Gowanus Expressway if they did that.
Yeah. But you also got a giant family that looks forward to hearing you every day and do wonders for us.
And trust me, I appreciate all you guys out there. We couldn't do the show without you. And really, quite frankly, you know, when we decide to try to do this every day, all week long, all off season long, I had doubts as to whether or not we'd be able to carry it. And heck, I could go for 2 hours every morning if I wanted to. That's how great you guys are. So I appreciate it.
In fact, well, thanks. You know, just real quick before I get to what I wanted to talk about, that made me kind of think. I know you said, you know, you're looking for ideas for shows. You know, it might be kind of, you know, premature, but I think sometimes that can be interesting. You know, I'd like to hear maybe early next week when you get back or whatever your thoughts on. It's always fun to look back and maybe, you know, catalog your picks for the, you know, for what the opening roster is going to look like and, you know, try to pick it now. There's so many variables, of course, like Hill, et cetera, but it makes it even more kind of fun to look back.
That's not a bad idea.
You might be able to do that.
Yeah, that might be fun.
Okay, and then off topic real quick, but the Knicks, you know, I think, you know, the saying horses for courses, I mean, I think Phil Jackson just got his first glimpse at when you're doing a job that you maybe, A, don't have experience doing, and B, maybe have no business doing. There's a whole different deal between being a coach and a GM, and I think Kerr and his people picked his pocket. You know, they just, you know, let him along, and, you know, he doesn't have the experience as a GM, and they, you know, they basically just used him, and, you know, he learned a lesson. Now, with Kerr, we don't know what he's going to end up being as a coach, but, you know, he wasn't much of a GM. Maybe that'll make him a good coach, since it looks like Jackson is a good coach and not very good of a GM.
Well, you know, Frank, I'll say this. I agree. I think that did happen, and I will say this, too. I think almost maybe, you know, Phil Jackson dealing with Steve Kerr here almost treated him like a friend a little bit too much. And, you know, he's his protege. They're good buddies. And, you know, Steve Kerr said, boy, you know, Phil Jackson was great to me. He gave me so much freedom to really explore this opportunity and make the best decision for me. If you're a Knicks fan, is that really what you want to hear about your GM? That he allowed a coach wanted to coach the Knicks to free him to pick another team? No, that's not what you want to hear. You want your GM to put the pressure on the coach to make him pick the Knicks.
Exactly right, and that's why that's a whole different skill set, and that's why
right.
You know, as a coach, you know, you can, you know, you can say, hey, I'm going to give my buddy, you know, a job as the film coach, or, you know, the fifth guy down the line or something on the bench, you know.
Right.
It's a whole different deal when you're a GM and picking a head coach. So you know, he may not be the man for that job. But getting back to to our beloved G-men, a question, and I apologize for not knowing the answer to this, but can Walton play right guard?
Can Walton play right guard? That is, that's a good question. I asked Tom Rock and Art Stapleton when they were on with me on Friday night on our video show, our Draft Night Live show, and neither of them could, you know, remembered him playing any guard. I think he's exclusively a center. So I think, Frank, what would happen if you figure out, let's say, you finish all the competition in training camp and you decide within your five best offensive linemen, both J.D. Walton and Weston Richburg are five of your best offensive linemen, I would bet it would be Richburg that would probably move over to guard and Walton would stay at center. Now, that could change. That's only my guess. I don't know. Maybe Walton's working a guard out there on the practice field right now. That could be happening as we speak. I don't have the answer to that yet. I'll know better once we get to minicamp because I can watch all those practices and see what they're doing and report on it. So right now I think that's a good question. It's one I've thought about too. Which one, Richburg or Walton, if both proved to be some of the Giants' best offensive linemen, which one will move out of center? I'm not sure which one, to be honest with you. And I think that's one of the questions that we will get answered in June.
Are either or both big enough?
I think both. You know, Richburg's under 300. You know, that might be a little bit of a problem, him moving over to guard. I have to check J.D. Walton's height and weight. I think J.D. Walton's about 310. I think he'd be able to do it.
Okay, but you have to get the answer to that because that might change things a lot. You know?
Yeah.
The other thing, quick question, under Gilbride's system, you know, I'm not a coach and I don't have time or the inclination to sit and break down film and stuff, but how much sight recognition stuff went on from the tight end position? I'm wondering, like with Robinson, is it talent, is it catching and blocking, or is it between the ears or both, or just wondering what he does?
My opinion, it's between the ears. That and health. It's both. He can't stay healthy, and I don't think he's picked up the system as well as he should have over 2 years. I think both those things are big issues and factors.
And did that system have a lot of that from the tight end position?
I'm sorry, say that again, Frank?
Yeah, was there a lot of necessary, you know, sight recognition off from the tight end position under Gilbride? Would a simpler system help then?
I think a simpler system could hurt. I mean, let's see whether it was, I mean, maybe it was Gilbride's system. Maybe it was that Robinson isn't good learning any system. I don't have the answer to that. I think we'll find out this year.
Well, thanks, John. Have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you, and cheer up. Life, you know, it's a great thing.
I appreciate it, Frank. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Great. All right, we'll take one more call before we say goodbye. You guys have been great on the phones as usual. Oh, we lost Pierre in Dallas. I was going to go to Pierre next. Darn. Pierre, if you're out there, if you call back in here, I'll get you back up. All right? I'll take Tom and Manalapan, and Pierre, if you're out there, give us a call back. I'll put you right back on. Tom, what's going on, pal?
Morning, John. John, I'm getting a little steamed up out here.
Why is that?
Well, the Jerry Reese bashers are really starting to get under my skin. I really discount most of the commentary about his performance because it's always offered in a total vacuum. The proper way to compare Jerry Reese's performance is against his peers, not Marvin Austin, if you know what I mean. I would say if you want to do some heavy lifting on Jerry Reese, you have to look at the records of all the GMs, of all the teams, I'd say for the last... performances is good or bad.
I hear you, Tom. I think there are some fair criticisms, though. I mean, to say that there aren't some fair criticisms, especially in regard to the middle-round picks, I think there are some fair criticisms out there, to be honest with you.
I do too, John, but I also temper that view by understanding that when you have a roster that's loaded, because you're just coming out of a Super Bowl a year or two earlier, for one thing, you don't have a lot of spots on the roster to absorb third, fourth, and fifth round draft picks. You've already achieved that goal. I mean, one of the ironies about the draft is if you have a real good couple of years in the draft, you're going to, by necessity, have a bad couple of years because you only got 53 spots on the roster.
Yeah, but Tom, here's the thing, though. It isn't like these guys have left the Giants, though, and played well elsewhere. I mean, look, just for an example, I want to go back, and I'm not going back that far now. If my computer would actually work here, I can give you the list of players. But if you if you take a look here, at, for example, the Giants 2000 and Linval Joseph signed elsewhere. He was a have guys on your roster from that draft, right? Well, Linval Joseph signed elsewhere. He was a have guys on your roster from that draft, right? Well, Linval Joseph signed elsewhere. He was a good pick. He just didn't work out.
Right.
Philip Dillard, a fourth-round pick, was an absolute bust. He's out of the league. Your fifth-round pick, Mitch Petras, tried on a couple different places. He hasn't stuck anywhere. Matt Dodge now. And then if you think we know about him, and Adrian Tracy, I don't think is on a roster right now. And then if you go to 2007, I mean, your third-round pick's Jarrell Jernigan. He's had maybe four good games with a Giant uniform on. James Brewer is barely a backup. Greg Jones is out of the league. Tyler Sash is riding around on scooters in Iowa getting tased. Darrell Scott's out of the league. So I think, you know, there are some issues here with some of these middle to late-round draft picks not working out.
You know, the analogy I thought of, John, was Mickey Mantle. And here's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
If I don't know anything about baseball, and I just look at, what is it, 298 lifetime batting average? It's a 300 hitter, right?
Right.
If I don't know anything about baseball, and this is, I think, a lot of people come at Jerry Reese from the same angle. Hey, he was up 10 times and he only got 3 hits. What's he doing the other 7 times at bat? I mean, what, you know, what's wrong? 3 out of 10? That's not very good. Yet, if you look at the universe of baseball, that's pretty darn good performance. Wait, the same thing applies to Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese drafted X number of players. What was he doing the other 7 times at bat?
Well, Tom.
Without a context
right.
to judge him.
No, I hear you.
To me, it's silly.
One question for you, and this is a simple question. You might not even have the answer. I'll probably end up being rhetorical. Since Jerry Reese started drafting Giants players back in 2007, right, how many of his draft picks have re-signed that second contract with the Giants to stay on past their rookie contract?
John, it's an unfair question because it comes in, because it's about economics. It's about, you could have, if you have 22 All-Pros 1 year, you're going to have 5 the next year because you can't afford to pay them.
No, but Tom, the team hasn't made the playoffs in 3 out of the last 4 years. 4 out of the last 5, excuse me. I mean, you aren't looking at a team that's 14-2 here. You're looking at a team that's consistently 8-8, 9-7.
Well, John, I mean, does not every team go through one of these Super Bowl bubbles where you pay your Super Bowl champions and then you pay for that in both literally and figuratively for 5 years afterwards?
No, I hear you, but Tom, here's my point. I'm going back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drafts now. 7 if you include last year's, which I think is unfair, but it's obviously too early with that group. There hasn't been one perennial Pro Bowler that's been drafted in 7 drafts. 7.
I understand, John. What's he doing the other 7 at bats? What other teams have had that kind? I mean, it has to be in a context against the other teams, not in the vacuum of just the Giant draft.
Well, no, I understand that, Tom, but obviously somebody's drafting Pro Bowlers. They have the game every year. Somebody's playing in that game.
I'm sure. And I also think, too, you know, I guess the big rage this year is we got to do what Seattle does. Well, what Seattle did was be a losing team for 10 years and get top 10 picks for 10 years.
Whoa, that's true. I mean, Earl Thomas is one of those guys, Tom. But look, Brandon Browning was a mid-round draft pick. Richard Sherman was a mid-round draft pick. Russell Wilson was a mid-round draft pick. They traded a mid-round draft pick to get Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Seattle was pretty creative in how they put their roster together. It's not like they got a bunch of top 10 picks running around. They got guys that are drafted in the middle rounds and are having success.
And good for them. And good for them, John. But I would suggest to you, that's not the template. That's not the norm. That's what propelled them to the top of the pack this year. And as almost every year, there's a story that underpins the success of the team.
Right.
And for Seattle last year, those middle round picks stepped up to it. But that's, to me, that's an aberration. Almost every Super Bowl winner, you could say, is an aberration in some context or another.
Sure.
And that's why they don't repeat. When those variables distort the next season, it makes it almost impossible. The whole league is designed, in a way, the way they procure talent. The whole system is designed to, you know, you go to the top and you recede to the bottom, and you go to the top and you recede. That's the rhythm of the league to me. And I find, again, coming back to Jerry Reese, I find it very hard, some of the criticisms of him, very personal. What was the silly one I heard today? Well, if we had signed Jacobs in August, we would have won a game in October. Nobody's scalpel is that sharp. that you can criticize him. And oh, and we're going to lose to Detroit by what? 8-5 to nothing. Because you, nobody in the league, nobody in football has a scalpel.
Though
that
Tom,
sharp.
In fairness, look, I can't guarantee it would have won you any more games. We were sitting here on the show last May and June saying the Giants didn't need another veteran running back in here. I mean,
yes,
we knew that.
I hear you. I hear you. John, I mean, what it comes down ultimately for me is this: I have a great respect for what I don't know. And a lot of people don't. If they can't see it on, there's 168 hours in a week. We see these players for 3 hours on Sunday afternoon, and everybody wants to reverse engineer the other 165 hours from the 3 hours we see. It's not a rational, to me, it's not a rational foundation of analysis. Like I said, you want to throw rocks at Jerry Reese, then you know, do the heavy lifting. And compare him to his peers, and that's not done. I would love if Marvin Austin was all pro. We all
right.
would, but I think using that, you know, a very Mickey Mantle. I'd hate for Mickey's sake that his legacy was well. What was he doing the other seven times at bat?
Tom, thanks for the call, bud.
Have a good one, John.
Hey, you too, Tom. Thanks for the very thoughtful comments. I appreciate it. And let me say two other things. One, I never answered my own rhetorical question. At NF Jintz points it out. Will Beattie was the guy that got a second contract that Jerry Reese drafted. That's correct. Zach Diassi, another guy that got a second contract from the guys Jerry Reese drafted. Linval Joseph got a legitimate second contract from another team, just not from the Giants. And then, again, I mentioned this before, too. You've had a lot of bad luck. I mean, Terrell Thomas, bad luck. Kenny Phillips, bad luck. Chad Jones, bad luck. Clint Sintem, bad luck. Injuries, what are you going to do? All right, two more calls before we say goodbye at 201-939-4513. We got Pierre back in Big D. Pierre, I haven't talked to you in a while, my friend. How's everything down there?
All right, it's pretty good, man. Hey, I was just listening to the guy before me. I don't know what kind of pick Odell Beckham is. I have kind of personal contact with his father.
Right.
I used to compete against his father. His dad is from Marshall, Texas, which is probably 25 miles east of Longview. I don't know if you guys know about East Texas football, but it's a powerhouse. I mean, you got guys like Taylor, they used to play for the Eagles. You got Trent Williams, that plays for the Redskins. Jason Bradnick used to play for the Bills. Larry Sanders used to play for the Patriots. You have Chris Ivory that plays for, I think he's playing for the Jets. Quite a few guys that came, you know, that came out of East Texas, and I used to compete against
right.
his dad, Odell Beckham. That was a Marshall Maverick. He was a running back. So I don't know what Odell Beckham Jr. is like, but I know his dad was a pretty good ball player.
No, look, his dad was a good ball player. His mother was an Olympic athlete, so he certainly comes from good yeah. bloodlines. I mean, he was raised by two world class athletes, and I think that'll help
yeah.
him be prepared for the NFL.
Yeah. So yeah, Yeah, you know, that area, man, it's a breeding ground for pro ball players, especially football players. I mean, we used to, every week it was in the district, and here in Texas we call them districts. So there was Longview, which, you know, you can look that up. John Tyler, which Earl Campbell came out of. Tyler Lee, Lufkin, which, you know, Dez Bryant came out of. Texas High, Nacogdoches. Marshall, Pine Tree, that was 13-5A was a district. So that was about 1988, 1990. So that was, I mean, every week you brought it or you got your lunch taken.
No, look, I hear you. I mean, look, obviously, you know, there's nothing like high school football in Dallas, in Texas. I mean, you guys take that
yeah.
stuff very seriously, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he's going to be a pretty good ball player. But, like I said, his dad was pretty good, man. His dad was pretty good.
No, I hear you. Pierre, I got a question for you. What's the? I always like to get your take on the Cowboys while you're down there. I like to kind of get your take on the guys and the other teams in the division. What's been the reaction to the draft? Positive or negative passing on Manziel down there in Texas? I know, you know, national NFL people think they made the right decision drafting Zach Martin, but I know, you know, the Texas folk like their local kids. Manziel's a local kid. And what was the overall thought of them trading their third-round pick to get DeMarcus Lawrence?
Well, I'll say this, man. You know, I see a lot of Twitter and, you know, blogs, and everybody likes to pick on Jerry, you know, for whatever reason, which he's been doing a pretty good job. You know, y'all will dispute that, but It was a lose-lose situation. Had he drafted Manziel, there he goes, being Jerry. Had he not drafted, if he didn't draft Manziel, you know, he was stupid. You know, so either way, I mean, and most fans here, most of us are happy that he didn't draft John. I mean, seriously, 80% or more of us. You know, you have those that are thinking, you know, eventually you're going to have to replace Romo. But as soon as Romo, you know, made any type of mistake, which any quarterback would make, you know, you would have that rising up to put Manziel in, you know, and you don't need that. He's already a controversial figure. You know, of course, Cowboys are always being talked about, and you put the two together, boy, that was a hurricane being, you know, in the making. So it was a good thing that they passed on him. I was proud of them that they passed on him.
All right, and how about moving on to pick Lawrence in the second round?
Lawrence, I actually think they wanted Barr.
Well, they wanted Barr or a Shazier, right, who went right before they picked, right? What are those two?
Right. And I actually think that they you know, everybody, the media and everybody's winking them to Donald. I don't think they really cared about Donald. I don't really think they cared about Donald. I think that, you know, I think Donald was more of a media creation than you know. And that's the thing about us fans, you know, regardless of what team you root for, none of the NFL teams were talking about who they were going to pick. That's all of the stuff and the way the players rise up the boards. That's a lot of media driven.
It's all speculation.
Yeah, speculation. Yeah, so, you know, they obviously knew something about the guy that we didn't know. So, but I think Lawrence, you know, everybody says that, you know, they paid a big price for Lawrence. You know, they wind up trading the third pick for Lawrence. But what do? Do you sit there and let that guy get taken? Because there were six teams between them and their next pick.
Right.
That needed a defensive end. So do you sit there and let someone else pick him, like, you know, what happened in the first round? No, you get aggressive and you go get your player.
I hear you. Pierre, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you, man. Don't be a stranger.
All right.
Thanks, bud. Let's wrap this sucker up with Alan in Washington, D.C. Alan, you know what? I'm going to start with this. I'm going to put you on the spot. What was the overall reaction down in the Capital Region to what the Redskins did in the draft?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you the truth. A little shocking, I would say, but, you know, the Redskins fans around here have been very quiet because right now the Washington Wizards are getting a lot of buzz right now. You know,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Indiana. So, you know, and speaking of which, like, I'm a big Giants and Yankees fan. You know, when I grew up in New York, that's kind of what I did. You know, those are two sports I followed. But I didn't get into basketball until I moved into D.C., which was in, like, 94, and then that's when – Chris Webber came on board, and I became a big Bullets fan back in the day when he teamed up with Juwan Howard. And we remember the old NBA Jam where we all—I know you remember the old.
Of
NBA
course,
jam.
On
that
fire!
I still got it, man. Those two were my guys. But right now, the buzz is definitely the Washington Wizards. Everybody's quiet down right now about the Redskins.
You know, Alan, and by the way, real quick on that, I think this offseason, if Carmelo Anthony does end up leaving New York, I think the Wizards are actually a sleeper destination for them if they decide to try to go after him in free agency. I think him going back home, I think that's a legitimate possibility.
Exactly, man. You know, I think right now, like, we got to take, I'm not just talking about the Wizards, but Giants in general have to take, you know, a fragment from Coach Popovich. We need that nasty, man. We need that nasty. We need whoever the players we pick have to have, like, you know, with Shakes and Steven Steve said, that dog in them, that fight in them, that's what we need. And you know, Beeson type of players that have just that edge on them, that chip on their shoulder, those type of caliber dudes on our squad because, you know, our offense it can be explosive, but if our defense has that mentality and that edge, you know, we're in every game, and Eli with his arm and, you know, with the Victor Cruz and, you know, even like, you know, the young talent with, you know, the Jarrell Jernigans and these young receivers, we have a shot at, you know, doing something special this year. But, you know, I'm a very optimistic fan, of course, but I always think that every year we're going to get these you know the big names, but sometimes it's like the undrafted guys. Sometimes it's the free agents that you bring on board that like really put you over the top. And you know, I just hope we have a good balance of all that, you know. But we definitely, you know, I'm surprised, man. I'm like the Spurs again, really again. Every year, it just seems like, you know, we should hire that guy as the coach for our team. I swear, like that dude knows just how to get the job done, you know. So, you know, talent is everything, but coaching goes a long way. And grooming these guys right and doing the right things in any sport, really, whether it could be like, you know, a team sport, individual sport. You know, the coaching and the training goes a long way, but you know, talent does go carry you through the, you know, through the hard part of the season. So, you know, I just hope we have, you know, those guys on our team. And you know, I'm happy got to talk to you, man. And, you know, where's Lance, man? He's been like you guys. Is he just off season mode? Is he just chilling? Like,
Lance will be hosting the show tomorrow, brother. Just call in.
Yeah, man, I like giving him a hard time because he's like a little bougie now. Like he's a little special, you know. So you know, well, shout out to everybody. You know, I'm always tuned in, man. If you don't hear from me in a while, just remember I'm always tuned in. I'm listening every day, and you know, I appreciate your show as always, bro.
Good to hear from you, Alan.
Have a good weekend, bro.
You too, my man. Love Alan at DC. One of my boys. Everybody, great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter. You keep me entertained for an hour and a half, and I'm in a better mood. I honestly am. I appreciate that. Thank you. Tomorrow morning, Lance Meadow will host with you. I'll have a recorded interview with Tony Pauline, get his take on who the Giants drafted. And that's about it. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Should be some nice weather. Enjoy that. Springtime will certainly become summer soon. So enjoy these sub-90-degree temperatures while you can. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one.